Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Joe and joining me is Tom, Fantasy Football Scout's deputy editor. We usually, on our goals imminent video, which takes place on a Tuesday, reveal our teams. But we've got a separate video this time, so we're going to see how that goes. Well, we'll dedicate this one to talking about our teams and our plans going forward. What we'll do is we'll have a look at the fixtures coming up over the next six, and then Tom will have a talk about his team and his plans, and I'll talk about mine. So Tom, welcome, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks Joe. Yeah, it's been a bit of a quieter period with the international break, but we've got England Italy tonight, and then focus really shifts towards game week nine.
Definitely. So this will be going out on Wednesday. Okay, so for those watching on Wednesday, you'll know the England result, so we'll pretend England won. let's move on to the fixtures. So this will probably shape our plans going forward, what we're doing. So we'll talk about our teams, what we're doing for game week nine, but also going forward. And this tells me over the next six, Aston Villa, West Ham, Liverpool have the three best. They're the three best fixture runs there. Meanwhile, Luton, Fulham and Chelsea at the worst. Manchester City have a real mixed bag from an attacking point of view and defensive point, but certainly from a defensive point of view. They've got Brighton next, Manchester United, Bournemouth and Chelsea, Liverpool and Tottenham. So it's quite tough. Meanwhile, Tottenham's fixtures become a bit more middling, and that's a sort of the same with Newcastle as well. They've got Crystal Palace and Wolves, Newcastle. Then they've got Arsenal, Bournemouth, that's good. Then Chelsea and Manchester United. So gets a bit mixed. Same with same with Tottenham. Got Fulham next, but then Crystal Palace, that could be tricky away. Chelsea Wolves and Aston Villa. Because I saw Cheltenham play a couple of weeks ago on my mind. Wolves and Aston Villa. And then they got Manchester City. So once again, a mixed bag here. But yeah, looking at this fixtures here, Tom, when we look at your team, but just some early thoughts. What does this say about what you're going to be doing, perhaps when you're going to be wildcarding?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm planning a game week 10 wildcard, and it's easy to see why when you look at the ticker and then you have a look at my team in a minute. I'm heavily loaded up on teams like Man United. I've got players like Mbeumo, and their fixtures are about to turn for the worse. Yeah. And there's a lack of Villa, West Ham and Liverpool coverage in my team. So it feels like the perfect time to press the button after game week nine, though, because obviously the teams that I mentioned then, United and Brentford, have got good fixtures this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this says to me, I'm glad I wildcarded in game week eight, because my team, I've gone in on Villa, West Ham, Liverpool, and a bit of Crystal Palace and Newcastle, and I've divested myself of Chelsea and Manchester United, and a bit less Manchester City as well. I Diaz in defence. Meanwhile, but problems for me though is that game week 10 is there's a notable fixture turn here. Arsenal's fixtures suddenly become much better. Brighton's fixtures certainly start to become much better as well. And I currently have only Tarik Lamptey sitting on my bench, and I don't think he'll play too often. So yes, that's something I've got to think about. But it's something you can consider on your wildcard. Let's just jump straight into your team. Do you want to read out who you've got for game week nine, and who might come in, who might go out, and sort of how this fits in with your plans to possibly wildcard in 10?
Yeah, so yeah, this is realistically the last week I'll be fielding this team. I've got Onana in goal. A bit concerned about United's defence, but away against Sheffield United, I'm going to play him. I've got a back three of Saliba, who's currently flagged, who goes to Chelsea, Cher against Crystal Palace, and Adogie against Fulham. So happy with two of those defenders. Not so keen on Saliba, but that might be a transfer there. basically, I'm with the transfer this week, it's going to be a 1 week punt.
Yeah.
So I can have a bit of fun with it, whether or not I want to play it safe and shift Saliba or do something further forward. I'll mention that in a minute, though. Rest of the team, Mbeumo at home against Burnley. I've got Fernandes and Rashford at Sheffield United and Son and Richarlison at home to Fulham. So that feels like, there's a few there's four underperforming players in there, but the fixtures are good this week.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like that needs much work. So I'm pretty sure that will stay the same unless we get any injuries. And then up front, I've got double Man City, Alvarez and Haaland, who will be my captain. On the bench, Areola, Archer, Gehi and Tarkowski.
Okay. I mean, first thing I look at before you mention, what your moves would be, it's home advantage. You've got, I mean, virtually all of them are at home except for the Manchester United guys and Saliba. And arguably that's the best away game you can get for Manchester United against Sheffield United. So they're easy fixtures, rest at home, which is good. Strong fixtures there. And Saliba away to Chelsea, that could easily be a clean sheet. This is a really, really strong team. I mean, we say it every week.
It hasn't been a great period over the past kind of 4 or 5 weeks. I kind of peaked at game week 3. It hasn't been great since then. But the team, like most week, it's felt okay going in. I mean, I've got 2.4 million in the bank and one free transfer. So Saliba could easily become Trippier, which would give me the double Newcastle defence. That move feels a little bit, I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking, I can have a 1 week punt. I can have a bit of fun on a player which nobody else owns. Do I want to go for Trippier? But then I do look at the rest of my team, and there are quite a few punts in there anyway. Yeah. Players like Richarlison, even the United double midfield. Not many people own them anymore. But that's an option with the free transfer to go Saliba to Trippier. And then I've got another player at home.
It's the only weak link, and it's not even a weak link, Saliba. Saliba, I mean, if you can do Saliba to Trippier, I would just do that for 1 week.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I'm leaning at the moment. Yeah. The only other position which might be a problem is Alvarez, because obviously he's on international duty with Argentina this week. Now, in game week 5, he came back and he played 90 minutes and he got a couple of assists against West Ham after the last international break. But City are in a better place now. They've got more options. They've got Grealish. They've got Doku. They've got Foden. They've got Nunes who's come in. They've got Bernardo back. And so that could, if I think that he's going to be rested, I'm not totally averse to taking him out for 1 week.
Yeah.
And if I were to do that, and if I were you to use my transfer, I'd probably be looking at Callum Wilson because Isak's got a, Isak's flagged at the moment. He's pulled out of international duty. So if I could get into Wilson, who isn't on international duty, who's rested at the moment for that Palace game at home. Palace at home isn't a great fixture, but Wilson at home is a good player to own.
He tends to get involved. I would be very surprised if he doesn't get a return and he could get a haul. But I think that could be a really good move too, because especially it's quite a nice predicament to be in before the game week 10 wild cards. I mean, I remember this kind of role before. The times the 1 week punt before wild card, the one that I always remember is Arnautovic at Stoke. The player I wasn't so keen on having all the time, but I thought, I'll go for him. I think he blanked for me, but he's exactly that player I would do in a heartbeat again. It's that sort of player. And I think Callum Wilson is that one who should get you return in an easy home game. Jota could be an option, but you don't have space because you've got a great five midfield there and you wouldn't remove anything.
That's on my notes in front of me. If there was one midfielder I'd go for, it would be Jota, because I think we'll get lineups early on Saturday. And I think he'll play anyway. I don't think I even need it in a leak. Where do I go? I mean, I think the only way that could be an option is if one of my players gets an injury between now and Saturday. And if Son were to get a knock for South Korea or something like that, then that would be an easy move to make. But at the moment, I think the two slots are either Saliba and Alvarez. I think they're the ones up for grabs.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, Jota, I think for those reasons, I think he should start, and it's a home to Everton. That should be that should be some returns there for the Liverpool attackers. And you really want the ones that are starting for that one. And Diaz and Darwin Nunes are certainly at risk. Yeah. So it looks like this is a sort of a calm before the storm of your game week 10 wildcard there. Just some early thoughts on your game week 10 wildcards. And we mentioned some of those teams that I'll be looking at, Arsenal and Brighton. We've got, you know, Villa, West Ham, Liverpool, all teams that you need a bit of. But do you have any sort of general thoughts? Any sort of likely to be nailed on players for your game week 10 wildcard?
I don't want to say nailed on at the moment because it's quite a lot to change, can't it, Joe? We have our ideas and then after a weekend's football, it can be turned on its head a bit. But yes, I have started to put some ideas down. I think I'll be almost certainly going for Bowen and Areola in goal. Liverpool, I'd like to get Salah, and I would like to get Darwin as well. I don't think this week is the way to go for Darwin, but I think after that, I think in game week 10, that could be a good time. Yes, you've got the international break again ahead of game week 13, but you get three fixtures in between that. And if Darwin starts two of them, given his output when he is on the pitch, he could be a nice player to invest in. And Brighton as well, like you say, Joe, I mean, they've got good fixtures. Yes, there's Europe and there's always going to be that rotation element. But we spoke about it on Goals Imminent that maybe Lewis Dunk over a Stupinan or something like that gets you a bit more assured minutes and a bit of goal threat from set pieces.
Yeah.
So, and somebody like Matoma, I think he's going to play most games.
Yeah.
Maybe not everyone.
Matoma is the one. I think even if he's benched, he'll come on for a sizable amount of a game. And he's probably the most nailed on. I think the most nailed on is Pascal Gross.
Yes.
Although I saw something today on Twitter from Andy Naylor, who's the Athletics Brighton correspondent, used to be at the local paper there, the Evening Argus. He was saying that he's going to face a choice on Pascal Gross because I think he was could be injured or rather he did get injured last time after the international break. His minutes will be managed. He's a bit older as well. But ordinarily, Pascal Gross has been the nailed-on guy, and he's on a lot of set pieces, a lot of corners, so you get strong.
And if we were to sit out that City match, that's probably a good thing, isn't it, Joe, if you're then thinking about bringing him in after that, because then he's even more nailed for the next few.
So, we'll talk about my team in a sec, but, money could be tight. And if I can't get to Matoma, Pascal Gross is the only one I would go for. Because Solly March... ordinarily I would, but there's so much more competition up front now. You've got Dinga, you've got lots, and also Solly March could play a left back suddenly. Yeah. He's good there. There's question marks, and you don't want to bring players in with question marks. You want sort of nailed on. So Matoma, Gross for me.
I did think playing the wild card, I think I'm right in saying Brighton play Ajax a couple of days before game week 10. That might offer some hints as to who starts game week 10. Mm. So you could go on a wild card for a short term punt, but then you're kind of booking in a transfer because there's that week to week uncertainty,
but
isn't
there? The Ajax game. So Brighton, performed poorly in their first Europa League game against Athens. Athens were great. Then they got a point away at Marseille, which is great. For their second Europe game, but they've only got 1 point, two games. So those Ajax games are winnable because of our Ajax's form, but it's so important to that they achieve. So that's going to be the priority, those Ajax games. They've got to rack up at least a win and a draw, I would say, or at least, they've got to get points on the board from them. So I think they're going to be the priority. So, that could be. So if Matoma starts, for example, that next Ajax game, which I assume he would. That's not to say he wouldn't start at the weekend. He's probably the most likely to play two games in a row at the moment. But yeah, it would be the death knell for Tarek Lamptey, for example, if you see him in that Ajax squad. That's the end of that. That's my door going. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to close my door because my dog's barking, but I'll be back in a sec.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, so just going back to Brighton. So, it's quite It's all right. I was just going to talk about Brighton. It is a tricky decision on a game week 10 wild card, yeah, because I think if you're going to invest in their players, I think you've got to get used to that week to week uncertainty.
Yeah.
And that could be really frustrating, I think.
Yeah,
so on a wild card, I'm currently thinking, yeah, I'll probably go for a defender. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about the player in midfield yet. I would like to.
Yeah.
But if Mitoma plays 90 at that IX game, I can see myself moving elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, Pedro, Ferguson, these are all options, but what you're buying into, you're not buying in for 2 minutes, you're buying into potentially getting returns. But yeah, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to move on to my team. Okay, so this is freshly wildcarded, home advantage again. Who have I got? I've got two players away, so everyone else at home, which is great. So I've got Turner in goal against Luton at home, so hopeful for a clean sheet there. Pedro Porro at Fulham, against Fulham. Cash against West Ham, so I'm hoping for attacking return there because I'm also playing Bowen. And then I've got Dan Burn at home against Crystal Palace, so I'm pretty pleased with that, all at home. And then I've got Madison Son double up, Pedro Neto, Salah is my vice-captain, and then I've got Bowen, who's away. And then I've got Watkins up front at home to West Ham. And then Haaland is my captain. And then on my bench, I've got Areola, who's ready to go for game week 10 for his run in my team. And then Archer is my first sub. Anderson he could also be first sub. I don't expect he'll get many clean sheet at Newcastle, but could get a goal. And then Tarek Lamptey against Man City is definitely my third sub. I'm going to do nothing with this because I want to go into game week 10 with two transfers. So I can do either a mini wild card, so take a hit and do three transfers, or just do two transfers. I've got 0.3, I think, in the bank. So if I sell, I could sell. My plan in game week 10, all being well, is Son and Neto, because in game week 10, Son is away to Crystal Palace, and Neto is home to Newcastle, so not great fixtures there. I can upgrade Neto to Mitoma, and I can downgrade Son to Saka. I can do that on the money now, which is why I hope everyone sells Saka and Mitoma so I can afford them. So what hopefully at the moment, I can earn an extra 0.1 by Neto going up, because I'll have earned a 0.2 on him. Similar with Son, I think. I know I've already made a bit of money on him, so another price rise for Son, I could make a bit more. If Mitoma and Saka could go down in price, but if everything stays exactly as it is, I can make that move. But as you mentioned about Brighton and Ajax game, I think information is so key. I'm not going to make that. Oh, I'm going to say I'm not going to make that move early. I may make that move early after, as soon as the game week 9 deadline's out of the way. But I don't want to, because information is so key. And Mitoma could get injured. Zerbi could say, there's no way Matoma's playing this weekend. Saka could still be injured. Saka could get a new injury. Martinelli could be the one who's cheaper, who I can definitely afford. So by waiting, I could end up missing out on those two transfers, but I could end up getting perhaps Martinelli and Mitoma or Saka and Pascal Gross and end up with more points. So I'm just sort of trusting in information, but it's going to be a tight squeak.
Yeah, but I think that it's really nice to have cheaper options on both those teams who are very good options.
Yeah.
Still, you know, Martinelli, what a great differential. I think his ownership's 4.4%.
Yeah.
For people, I mean, I think I'm going to struggle to pass that opportunity by in game week 10 on a wild card, because, you know, we've seen in the past Martinelli is capable of big, big scores, tends to play very well with Jesus as well, who's back, who's fit. And so, yeah, I think you're in quite a good position, and the team looks great for this week. I think even the away players that you spoke about, I really like them this week. I think Neto at Bournemouth, given their problems defending set pieces, and Bowen, if I wanted a player to play Villa, it would be the right winger, because we are a bit more advanced on the left. Dean goes forward a bit more. and West Ham love playing Villa. So Bowen seems like a good shout, I think. And it looks like a great team.
Well, yes, but but we've been here before. Now, this so far this season, I've gone up a million places. Yeah. I've gone down a million places. I'm currently at 300K in the rankings. But I was 1.3 the previous week. So the last international break, I had a terrible week the week after. So yes, on paper, this looks great. But I think you never know. And with international injuries, all it could take is perhaps a few international injuries or a few bit of resting. Fulham to really sharp against Spurs. That would decimate me. And Turner, to concede against, all of my differentials, my dice men, as I call them, because they're on live FPL. They've got a little dice symbol. They won't return. I'm not pressing my smug button yet.
But it feels strong going in. We've been doing these team reveals in the Goals Imminent video for a while, and every week I've been looking at my team recently thinking it looks strong. Not really having a lot of transfers to it hasn't required a lot of surgery. And I've been on a terrible run. I think I've had 5 reds in a row since game week 3, and I've been dropping. So yeah, you look at your team some weeks and you think this is great, and it just doesn't play out like that. But I think at this stage of the week, certainly that looks like a strong team.
You've got
clean sheet potential with Turner and Byrne and Porro. I think Villa will probably concede, but you've got that attacking threat from Cash, haven't you?
So
you look very well set up.
And also a nod to you from our first Meet the Manager video I did with you many years ago. And one of your top tips there was you like to have a differential fourth midfielder. So for me, it's a fifth midfielder. I've always been the same. I like to have players who score most points, but I like to have one that's definitely sort of low owned
and have a bit of fun with it.
And for me, Neto is that one. He's already got me a return, so he's got me 5 points so far. I hope he gets a return against Bournemouth, and I'll see him off. a Brighton midfielder. So that's the player. So then I will. That's why I quite like Martinelli over Saka, because he could potentially get more points because Saka's penalties is handing him over.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that links back to my Richarlison move as well. I could have gone for Maddison, and looking back on it, maybe I should have because he got the assist. Yeah. But I wanted to go with that kind of player for a couple of weeks before a wild card. He got some big chances in that match and he didn't take them, but we still got the Fulham game. And if he plays in that, who knows? It might pay off that move, but it is. I do like you, Joe. It's good to have that slot, rotate it around a bit more, and have it free and open to punts if you want to go there. And Martinelli, what a great pick he's going to be.
I've sort of done it already this season with my second striker. So I started with Pedro at Brighton, moved on to Ferguson as well, and both of them did me actually okay there, but obviously not being nailed on. And now, obviously, I've gone mainstream with Watkins. Watkins is he's no punt. He's really reliable. I really like having him in my side.
Well, I started off with double Man United midfield, which is still stinking the place out at the moment. But I also had Saka and Odegaard and Mbomo, I think I started with. And I didn't like that in the first few weeks because I wanted to keep them all the time because their fixtures were so good. Sometimes it's good to have that player that you're happy just for a couple of weeks and then you move them on and you can kind of be a bit more flexible with it rather than have these players that have got 5-6 good fixtures where you're never going to want to sell them.
No, definitely. Okay. Good luck everyone watching and listening for game week 9 and beyond. Tom, good luck in game week 9. And for me, I hope I have good luck. Finally, I'm not actually banking on it because I had good luck last week. So I'm 1-1 out. And so game week 10 should be good for me, not game week 9. Do remember to press that like button if you like what you're listening to and watching. And do remember to subscribe if you're not already. But in the meantime, we'll see you again next week for Goals Imminent video and also our team reveals during the week. Okay, thanks a lot. See you soon.
Thanks, Joe.